Welcome to the BeWellBuzz.com podcast.
Welcome to the Be Well Buzz podcast. Today's podcast is part three in our series geared at reversing the signs and symptoms of chronic fatigue and just those experiences that we know as having low energy. This is nutritionist Sean Stevenson. Today we're going to start with a quote from Confucius. Confucius said, "Life is really simple. We just insist on making it complicated." And no truer sentiment can be said than utilizing this incredibly simple solution for increasing the natural metabolic energy experienced in our body. This solution is so incredibly powerful, but we've been jaded by it simply because it's so abundant in our so-called civilized, industrialized nations that we live in today. And what this powerful key is to increasing the energy within your entire system is proper hydration. What's known as a reduction in as little as 1% of water content in your central nervous system can cause significant psychological disorders. Just a reduction in 1%. That's how important water is. And every day, our bodies actually exert a tremendous amount of energy just to maintain that adequate hydration. Most people hear this, but they don't really understand this fully, that we can literally go months without eating food. It's been done. You cannot go more than 3 to 4 days maximum as a human being without dying as a result of not having water, as a result of not having adequate hydration. It's literally the difference between life and death. That's how important it is. And if you're not bringing proper hydration into your system, your body's going to be utilizing a lot of energy just to try to maintain that hydration balance. And I'm going to explain to you today in a way that you've never heard before to understand what this truly means, so you can get a real grasp on it. So what dehydration actually is a deficiency of optimal water levels in the body, which results from inadequate water intake compared to water loss. So it's a very simple equation. Losing an excessive amount of water as compared to the introduction of new clean water into the body results in what we call dehydration. And what we talked about in the last podcast is the fact that your body is so efficient at recycling water and how important it is, it will drop down your energy levels and pull old used water from your colon and recycle that into your system just to have metabolic processes taking place. Now, is that a situation that we want to have where we're using that old dirty water from our colon, or do we want to bring in fresh clean water and allow our bodies to do what it needs to do? Now, most people hear about stuff like this, but they don't make a difference in their water intake. And another big confusing part of it is having the right kind of water, and also understanding that if we're eating certain types of foods, we're introducing some hydration into our body. But a lot of times we're introducing foods into our body that are going to require even more hydration. So you might think that you're drinking enough water, but you're probably not. If you're experiencing symptoms of chronic fatigue, low energy, headaches, things of that nature, your body is giving you a big time feedback that you're not properly hydrated. Now, I'm going to share with you how this works and how dangerous this can actually be. By a process known as osmosis, water molecules move down their gradient concentration from the place where they were more abundant to the place where they're less abundant. And this is done constantly in order to reestablish this osmotic balance. So what we have in our body is intracellular fluid and extracellular fluid. The intracellular fluid obviously takes a little bit more of the priority because that's where your mitochondria exist. The energy powerhouses in your cell reside inside the cell, and this is where they're creating the energy currency of the body. So hydration needs to stay there first. And if that extracellular fluid, the fluid that allows for transportation to happen, the movements of metabolic byproducts and nutrients, that process is very important, but it will be sacrificed in the event of keeping the intracellular fluid healthy first and keep the cells alive. Now, this is where the balance, the osmotic balance, can actually cause a pretty significant problem, because as soon as that extracellular fluid begins to become dehydrated, your body's going to intrinsically want to remove water from the intracellular fluid to move it to the extracellular fluid to keep you balanced. It's all about the letter B in this case. It's all about balance. And when this doesn't happen, this is where the big problem takes place. Now, according to Dr. Herb Joyner Bay and William D. Holloway Jr. in their book Water, The Foundation of Youth, Health, and Beauty, the loss of water from the interior of the cells produces a state of dehydration that impairs all cell functions. And cell dehydration results in, here's the list they gave, obstruction of accurate transcription of DNA code sequences into messenger RNA, prevents efficient production of amino acid sequences for protein assembly into the cell structural and functional components, the things like the microtubules, protein channels, receptors for hormones, enzymes, etc., etc., and also creates inadequate removal of toxins. Now, that was a lot of science there, but just to take a quick step back, when we're talking about prevention of the efficient protein structures, remember in part one we talked about a structure in the mitochondria called the matrix. Two-thirds of this structure that's critical for the production of energy in your body is made of proteins, and these proteins are intrinsically inhibited from being built properly when you're dehydrated. So you can forget about it. You can eat all the best foods in the world. You can exercise. You can do all these things. But if you're not properly hydrated, these structures are not getting built properly. Now, they also mentioned in the book the reverse of all of these things, which create incredible benefits. When the cells are properly hydrated, we have accurate transcription of DNA codes, efficient production of amino acid sequences for protein assembly, proper membranes for hormones, microtubules, protein channels, and adequate removal of toxins takes place when you hydrate your body properly. So if you're feeling thirsty right now, pause this, go get a drink, and come right back. And now the next thing that I want to share with you is a structure of how your cells actually get the water molecules into the cell. And these channels are called aquaporins. And this is very important to know about. Many people do not know about this. And they're just drinking all kinds of different waters. And a lot of people, oftentimes with some of the technologies we're using today, never truly feel hydrated. And it's probably because you're not getting hydrated. Your water needs to have structure, but it also needs to be without large molecules that are very dangerous to the body and can actually block up these channels and not get hydration into the cells. So a lot of times people are drinking municipal water, which is incredibly polluted, not with things that we know as, quote, dirty, but with chemicals, synthetic drugs, and things that are used in some way make the water better, can actually be very damaging to the body and prevent hydration from happening. One of those substances is fluoride. And this is something, you know, water is a whole topic that we'll get into in depth in a future podcast. But just to understand very briefly, fluoride is a medicine, and it's something that's put into our municipal water supply, and it's related to many degenerative issues and also related to things like Alzheimer's, things that have to do with the degeneration of the brain. And this links heavily to these parts of the brain getting hydrated properly and getting nourished. But now also what we're finding now in many water systems are the residue from pharmaceutical drugs being metabolized by people's bodies. So people who were taking chemotherapy drugs, for example, and they urinate in the water and that water is getting recycled into the water supply, and they're finding residues of these things in our water. It's not a good thing at all. And we don't have practices to really remove a lot of this stuff. So having a system like an RO system in your house, that's fantastic to some degree, because what that's going to do is it puts a certain amount of pressure on the water that actually breaks the structure of the water down and removes a lot of the nefarious molecules that can be in the water. But it also removes the structure of the water itself. And water, when you freeze water, take a look at it, it creates crystals. It's actually a liquid crystal. It's the most amazing substance on the planet, and it's what allows us to have life here. So it's not just some inert H2O substance. Water is far more powerful than that. But when you put it through a system like RO without structuring the water again, you're drinking blank water. And it's not giving a proper resonance with the human body, in my opinion, and from what I'm seeing with my clients over these past few years. So your best bet oftentimes is going to be to use water that's gone through the Earth's natural hydrological cycle. Things like spring water from the source. And in some cases, well water, if the total dissolved solids is not too high and resonates good with your body. Well, water is a very, very controversial issue, so we're going to leave that alone for now. But in general, we want to try and get natural spring water and get your water bottled in glass, if at all possible, because we do know the plastic that water is stored in is a very, very strong estrogenic compound. And plastics photodegrade. Light breaks them down. So just sitting on a store shelf under fluorescent lights breaks that plastic down into your water. And water is a solvent. So when you drink that water, that plastic is going to integrate into your fat tissue. It's very hard to get off, very damaging to the body. So it's a whole issue in and of itself. But bottom line is to get hydrated. And if at this time in your life, getting natural spring water is not a really great option for you, I'm going to give you a very simple tip for bringing some structure back to your water. When you do put your water through that RO system, or you buy some bottled water in glass, okay, because we do want to avoid the plastics that are bringing pretty strong estrogens into the body. So we want to get glass bottled water whenever we possibly can. Just add a pinch of full spectrum sea salt into the water, or any kind of really high quality salt. And what that is, those crystals create a resonance or pattern within the water itself. It's very powerful. There's also other things like Willard water, Mega Hydrate, Black Mica. There are several things out there, even zeolites, that can bring some structure to the water. So utilize that to make your water more structured and healthy and have a greater resonance with the aquaporins in your body, and get your body hydrated. If you're experiencing headaches, when I have people come into my office and they're experiencing migraines, first thing we do is check out their hydration levels. And 9 times out of 10, people think they're drinking enough water, but they're usually not. And just getting them hydrated removes sometimes years of migraine headaches simply by introducing more water into the system. Also, we see this pretty consistently with people coming in with chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, and things like that. So we're going to leave that there. Get hydrated. Now, next up in reversing this low energy, this chronic fatigue, is understanding what's going on with the adrenal glands. The adrenals are responsible for cortisol and also DHEA. People don't talk about the really rejuvenating, beneficial anabolic hormones that are being released by the adrenals as well, because it's all about cortisol. It's all about stress, and they're completely taxed right now for most people. And one of the big underlying culprits of this is using a lot of false stimulants. Your adrenals are hooked up to your nervous system directly, and introducing a lot of nervous system stimulants into your body is going to intrinsically cause a disruption in the function of your adrenal glands. And over time, you're going to become dependent on them just to make it through the day for most people. Now, we're talking about things like coffee, tobacco, these so-called energy drinks out there, and even the natural stuff, you know, the guarana, the kola nut. These things are nervous system stimulants as well. We need to understand the language there. Nervous system stimulants. Coffee. Now, I am in no way saying that coffee is a bad thing. Coffee is a very good thing when it's used in balance. But if you're overdoing coffee and you have to pay attention to your specific metabolism, you will mess up your adrenal glands pretty significantly. And it takes time for them to regenerate themselves and to get balanced again. People, when they get off of coffee, they typically, you know, if they go cold turkey, it takes about 3 to 4 days for them to even feel semi-normal to just function as they were functioning before. But you can get off of the stuff. And another thing is that coffee is a strong diuretic, as is, you know, even natural things like raw chocolate. And when you introduce these things into your body, you're going to have to bring in even more hydration, because that's going to trigger your body to release a lot of water. So again, you may think that you're hydrated, but you're probably not if you're experiencing low energy. So we want to respect our bodies and get off of the false stimulants. You're going to do things like coffee or tobacco, and the energy drinks are just ridiculous, to be honest. We're not even going to get into that. If you're using energy drinks, you'll never have energy, period. It's just fake. It's false. If those things come off the market today, you will be in big trouble. You know, and I've seen many people crash and burn at the end of that because their adrenals are so messed up. by bringing in so many false stimulants into their body every single day. So we want to transition off of that, bring more hydration into the body, utilize more whole foods that have excellent energy constructs like we talked about in the previous podcast. That's the way to go, because that double-edged sword, that coffee that you need is actually causing the problem in the first place that you even need the coffee. And sometimes it's a really tough thing for people to look at, but it's just being in balance. If coffee feels good to you and you can have a cup of coffee a day and you're not dependent on it, it's fantastic. So let's move on to the next one in this podcast that's critical in reversing chronic fatigue and the symptoms of low energy. And this is something that is the most powerful of all things that you can do to increase your energy levels that you have 100% control of. You have control over this one. And what it is sleep. And I mean sleep, really. Most people are not sleeping properly. They don't know what that is. It's all over the place. So many different problems going on with sleep. And people are doing so many different things in the waking hours to try and have more energy. But nothing can heal and rejuvenate your body better than getting great sleep. That is the cure for this whole situation. Now, what the big problem is very, very simple, but it can be very complicated in our modern society. Basically, when the sun starts to go down, our bodies are so connected with nature through our evolution for millions of years that when the sun goes down, melatonin goes up. Very, very simple stuff. And what melatonin is, it's an incredibly rejuvenating, beneficial, youthening hormone. And what it does is set your body up for sleepy time. It makes you want to relax, to lay down, to rest, to get proper sleep. It's built into the system. Now, on the other hand, when the sun comes up, cortisol goes up. And it's a natural thing. We hear a lot of things bad about cortisol, but we need it. And it's something that's good when it's in balance. It is the thing that runs our system, you know, for doing all these different duties and, you know, living life. But we are cortisol addicted. We're running on cortisol all the time. And melatonin counterbalances cortisol, but we never really get that proper melatonin secretion and we never really get proper sleep. And why that is that we literally have created a second daytime in each day. Sometimes for some people, a third daytime in each day in our culture. The light bulb is a relatively new invention. When it would get dark, it's time to shut it down because you're not going to be out there in the wild, in the wilderness without light because you might get eaten. You might get taken hostage. Your life can be over very quickly if you're not in the tribe, in the community, lights are out, everyone is resting. It's very recent that these things have been changed. And now you can literally turn on your laptop as soon as you get off from work. And you got light coming right through your retina, and it's telling your body it's daytime. So guess what? Cortisol levels are still up. So I'm giving you a very simple summation of this, but it's very, very in-depth. And this is another topic that we'll definitely dive more into. But to give you a powerful tip for rejuvenating your body, within 2 to 3 hours, okay, we're not making it so that we're not having fun and living life, but within 2 to 3 hours of the sun going down, we need to shut it down. We need to turn off the computers and the television and all the stuff that has light dancing through our eyes and affecting our brain, keeping cortisol up. We need to shut it down, you know, hang out with your family, talk, read a little bit with a low level lamp, not having the light super bright in the house. That in and of itself will set your body up for a very, very restful night's sleep. If you're not doing that one thing, the other stuff is hardly going to work. And what the other stuff is that the greatest rejuvenation of your physical body happens between the hours of 10 o'clock p.m. and 2 o'clock a.m. That's when the hormones, the rebuilding hormones, anabolic processes happen to rebuild you. Then everything after that, every minute, every hour after that is there to rejuvenate your mental capacities, to file away all the stuff you learned during the day, the emotional stuff, to get you back balanced. And most people are missing out on that key window from 10 to 2 because, you know, in our world today, we're up with the laptop or on the computer at those hours, you know, and wonder why we have low energy. We wonder why we have chronic fatigue. It's very, very simple. And we just want to respect our body a little bit more. Shut it down if you can. You know, it's summertime right now, so it gets dark around 8 o'clock. So shutting it down around, you know, 9, 10 o'clock with the computers and the lights and stuff, and then getting to bed by 11. But during the winter months, it gets dark a little bit earlier, so you move everything up. And then you can wake up with the sun, have an awesome day, get up, have fun, do your work, and then start a new process. I know this can be a big challenge for a lot of people, but I'm just sharing with you what you know to be true is that sleep is key to having the energy and vitality you want. And if you're going to improve your sleep, you've got to abide by some of these principles. That's literally built into our evolution. Now, lastly, I'm very, very excited to be able to share this with you because I really feel that you need to hear this and the people in your life need to hear this. Stress is the leading culprit in chronic fatigue. People are usually trying to take something or eliminate something from their diet in order to get more energy. But the underlying culprit in our modern society today is stress. Now, the part of our bodies that are responsible for actually reading the environment that determines whether or not there's going to be entry and exit of our cell and the creation of energy is a part of the cell called the cell membrane. And it's essentially like the skin of the cell. And this is part and parcel of your nervous system. And it's what's responding to the environment. And the nervous system is key. It's key in the evaluation and processing of stress in the body. It all boils down to the nervous system and literally the cell membranes reading your environment. Now, Nora Gedgaudas, the author of Primal Body, Primal Mind, she said this powerful statement that stress is not what happens to us. It's how we respond to what happens to us. And this is mitigated by a part of the brain called the temporal lobes and the hypothalamus pituitary adrenal axis, part of our limbic system, which is very primal. Now, everybody's hit today with tons of stuff going on and different things, quote, happening to us, but it's how we respond to what's happening to us. It's the built-in systems that we've created through our diet, through our emotional patterns, through the way that we see things. That's what determines how we're responding to the things that go on in our life and thus the, quote, stress that we experience. And as she mentioned, it's very, very primal how we interpret these things. And what science knows now is that we actually have three brains. We have three brains that evolved one from each of the other. And to start off, we all have a reptilian brain. And this part of the brain is basically based on survival, and that's what it's all about. Then we develop the mammalian brain, which has to do with emotions and community and things like that. And only later do we develop the frontal lobe, the more human brain, the intellectual brain that we now have today. And what this part of the brain is able to do is literally talk us into or out of every single thing that we're presented with. And no other animals have that. They're functioning on their instincts. So whether you like it or not, there are parts of your brain that when you're faced with a challenge, when someone is coming to you with a challenge, there's a part of your brain that's determining whether it's going to eat me or I'm going to eat it, whether it's a danger or whether it's safe. There are parts of your brain that are happening at light speed that are determining these things. And we put this new, very intellectual front up in front of it so that we don't really look like we're an animal of some sort and wanting to kick our boss in the stomach or something like that because they gave us the dirty look. You know, we have these different mechanisms now that have evolved over thousands of years, and it's an amazing system. But it's just understanding that you are not in the kind of control that you think you are, and you have to program your subconscious mind to be able to deal with the stressors that we're exposed to today. Because there are numerous internal and external stressors that we're all exposed to every day. And most people see stress as inherently problematic, but it's simply not the case. And we'll cover this more and definitely in depth in an upcoming podcast. You know, there's good stress and there's bad stress. There's good exercise stress that comes from working the body. And there's also overtraining that can suppress immune system and cause a very big problem with stress and chronic fatigue. There's good electromagnetic stress and there's bad electromagnetic stress. There's good relationship stress. There's bad relationship stress. There's so many different aspects of this. But what it all boils down to and simmers into is a big pot called your stress load. What is the overall stress load that you're experiencing? And as that stress load builds up, you're getting this inverse relationship with chronic fatigue. So as that goes up, your energy level intrinsically goes down. Now, we all know that stress can be a big problem, and I'm going to actually explain to you why and how this happens. There's a part of your system called the autonomic nervous system, and this controls the actions in the body that you normally do not regulate through conscious thought. The things that you can regulate through conscious thought are part of the peripheral nervous system, but this is not that. So this is things like digesting and eliminating food, regulation of your blood flow, the regulation of organs, thermal activity, your body temperature moving up and down and the regulation of that, the release of hormones into your body and all the different organ systems that have to do with that. These are all controlled by the autonomic nervous system. And you break that down, the autonomic nervous system has two separate parts as well, the sympathetic system and the parasympathetic system. The sympathetic nervous system is activated and we experience what's known as a fight or flight condition in the body. And again, this is very primal. This is happening all the time because through our evolution, we came through very, very volatile situations where it's literally fight or flight constantly going on, except when things were in balance and there was no threat around. And these mechanisms can't tell the difference between a big mortgage bill and being in fear because of that and a huge tiger that is going to eat you. That fear mechanism is still released in the same capacity from these two different things. And this is why people are experiencing chronic anxiety and thus chronic fatigue as well, because those mechanisms are firing off in the body because of paper tigers, because of things that are not actually real threats to our life at the moment. These are things that we can imagine that would have possible implications of failure in the future, you know, having a bill, maybe losing your home or something like that, and all the ideas we create, but it's not an imminent threat. 9 times out of 10 for people, but we have those emotions set off these different things in the body. So I hope that makes sense to you. The sympathetic nervous system, how this actually happens to be able to fight or flight, is it pushes the blood away from your internal organs and moves it to your muscles and your skin and greatly diminishes the digestive and eliminatory processes. So people are waking up in a rush every day, running out of the house, their digestion and elimination are very, very much degraded. And again, they think they're eating good food. They think that I'm properly hydrated and all this great stuff, but your body's not doing the proper things with it. You're damaging your body so much because of the stress in your life, because of the way that you've allowed your life to be structured. And right now, as part of this community, it's doing a real gut check to make sure that you're taking the time and balancing your life and not participating in putting too much of a stress load on yourself, and also implementing things as stress eliminators or de-stressors in your life that can bring a greater degree of health and happiness to your system. Because on the other hand, we have the parasympathetic nervous system, and this is the part of the autonomic nervous system that supports digestive and repairing process, and it balances out or opposes the effects of the sympathetic nervous system. So what this is known as is the anabolic part of the autonomic nervous system keeps you rejuvenated, fresh, happy, whole. Sympathetic nervous system is the catabolic system, breaks the body down, and it's there for a purpose. It's important if you need to flee, if you need to fight for your life. In some instances, you have those capacities and your body's not focused on digesting a sandwich. It's like, let's get this energy out to the limbs so we can run. That's what it's there for. But we really don't need that today. But we've overstressed our system and created all these paper tigers that are keeping us in this fight or flight state all the time. And what you experience is that anxiety, is that fear. That's the autonomic nervous system, the sympathetic nervous system aspect of it firing off. And it does take some work, but all you need to do is realize that this is the issue and I'm going to do something about it. And it's a beautiful part of the human system and being thankful that we do have it. And it just shows that you are absolutely alive. But we live in a very, very stressful environment today, and we all know this. So I want to share with you something that I would recommend you make it a must to incorporate in your life on a daily basis. And wanting to experience more energy, this is one of the big solutions. Not many people know this, but the human body creates a form of electricity called piezoelectricity. So we literally generate this energy just by the movement of our muscles. Just by moving, we generate electricity, we generate energy. And some people experience that consistently. You know, they feel pretty bad, but then they'll go do some exercise and they'll feel a lot better. Now, that's the piezoelectricity created. And on the other hand, some people can exercise and feel worse. And that is overtraining. So what we need to incorporate here are things that our ancestors and the great story traditions have utilized to increase the chi, or increase the daily energy, the vital energy in the body. So incorporating something like Tai Chi, Qigong, or even a gentle yoga practice, not the military yoga where you're trying to beat yoga and try to have a incredible butt kicking workout. Not that yoga, a gentle yoga practice that generates energy, that brings energy into the body, and it's not expending too much of the energy that's created. And I had the experience of training with an incredible teacher and actual master who won many different competitions and these type of things for Kung Fu to teach me Qigong. And what an amazing practice. It just brought so much balance to my life in a time that I needed it. And it's something that I regularly incorporate now. So I highly recommend, you know, even getting a couple of DVDs or seeking out a class and learning how to do Qigong or Tai Chi or a gentle yoga practice. Now, we've come to the end of this incredible series, and we've gotten a lot to digest and a lot that you can take advantage of. And I just want to extend out my heart and my intention for you to have the energy that you want and to be able to live life at its fullest. I'm very much aware that the state of stress today is incredible. And something very powerful and beautiful to me is that we are all connected. And I've seen that so many examples in my life, that if one person is stressed, everybody else on the planet is picking that up at some level and seeking to help the quality and happiness in the lives of others will bring tremendous joy to you, because the rising tide lifts all ships. And one of the underlying culprits behind why we don't do this is the amount of stress that we're under. And a big reason for this, I know in my heart, is that we don't live in a time where everything is pretty well drawn out for us, where we're born into a certain tribe or community and we know what path we're going to take automatically, because these are the paths that they're laid out there, that this is what we do. Today we live in a world where we have so many decisions and possibilities to partake in. Barry Schwartz actually called it the paradox of choice, which is a very interesting read if you ever want to look into that. And basically saying that the more options and choices that we have available to us, the more it actually paralyzes us into being able to make a decision. And this is so true if you take a look at your life. Having so many decisions to make in one field, you know, even just trying to choose the school that we go to. If you have 20 choices there, it makes it very, very hard to choose one because there's so many choices. So the best thing that you can do to increase the happiness overall in your life, the energy, the health and wholeness, is to put yourself wholeheartedly into something. Cut away the ridiculous amount of options that we have and pour yourself into something. This is your life, and you want to live this life to the fullest. Take advantage of it and do something that you love. Do something you enjoy. Pour yourself wholeheartedly into it and watch the fruits of that labor bring more health and vitality to your life. I want to thank you for tuning in with us. This is Sean Stevenson signing off for Be Well Buzz, and we'll talk with you soon.
Thanks for listening to the BeWellBuzz.com podcast. Go to www.BeWellBuzz.com for free articles and news about natural health and wellness.